Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, February 26, 2018. A new report says South Sudan's food insecurity is worsening.
They are skipping meals. They are eating different foods. They're reducing the amount of food they take. They're reducing food for children. And as we know, children require many meals per day and a diverse and balanced diet. And this has a significant effect on their future growth and development.
And civil society activists call on South Sudan's petroleum minister to apologize for claiming the country's economy is booming.
What is booming, perhaps, is how people are suffering. So they should stop all lying to the world that we are booming.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations and South Sudan government say more than half of the country's population face extreme hunger. An official with the UN World Food Programme says there are unprecedented levels of food insecurity in South Sudan. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
The report by the World Food Programme, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, UNICEF, and the South Sudan National Bureau of Statistics comes a year after South Sudan had declared famine in two counties in the former unity state, but by June, the UN said conditions had improved. The Integrated Food Security First Classification, or IPC, report notes millions of people have been displaced by 4 years of fighting, and as a result, many are unable to farm their land or maintain livestock. The report says more than 7 million people, or two-thirds of the population, could become severely food insecure this year without renewed international aid. Ross Smith, senior program officer with the WFP, says, which means people don't have enough to eat on a daily basis.
They are skipping meals. They are eating different foods. They're reducing the amount of food they take. They're reducing food for children. And as we know, children require many meals per day and a diverse and balanced diet. And this has a significant effect on their future growth and development.
UN officials say they fear 1.3 million children under the age of 5 will be at risk of acute malnutrition. Serge Tissot, the Food and Agriculture Organization country representative in South Sudan, says the Greater Equatorial Region, which was once the country's food basket, is the worst affected. Tissot says in 2014, the region was predicted to produce 560,000 metric tons of food, but last year it produced only 260,000 metric tons, mostly because of the ongoing conflict.
Globally, this IPC report shows a deterioration of the food security situation in South Sudan.
Isaiah Chol Arwai, chairperson of the South Sudan National Bureau of Statistics, is calling for parties to the conflict to stop fighting and aid groups to scale up their humanitarian work in South Sudan.
The National Bureau of Statistics and the government host institution acknowledges with concern the seriousness of the two IPC projection period for 2018, with the likely and early start of the peak of the lean season, and urges all actors to scale up their efforts in the coming months in order to prevent further deterioration of food insecurity and malnutrition in the country.
Alan Nadeau, the UN humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, says 4 years of fighting and a collapsed economy remain the biggest factors behind the persistent food shortages in the country.
Immediate humanitarian actions are therefore needed to stop any potential catastrophe in the coming months. At the same time, the fighting ongoing in the country and the insecurity need to be stopped to reduce vulnerability so people can go back to their home and go back to the land and they can start to plow the field.
He says the 2018 humanitarian response plan calls for $1.7 billion in funding to provide humanitarian assistance and protection to 6 million people across the country. Only 5.5% of the $1.7 billion needed has been received so far. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Civil society activists in South Sudan are calling on the petroleum minister Ezekiel Lolgathkwot to apologize to citizens after telling a British journalist last week that South Sudan's economy is booming. The Civil Society Forum says his comments mock citizens who are facing deplorable living conditions due to the ongoing conflict. Gift Friday has details for VOA from Juba.
The Civil Society Forum issued a statement over the weekend expressing their surprise and dismay by Lord's comments. Ria William heads non-profit ground, the Woman South Sudan. She says the minister should apologize to South Sudanese.
The South Sudanese people are really suffering and they should speak truth to power. So we are disappointed with such statements and we ask them to restate what they said and also apologize to the people of South Sudan because they owe them an apology for lying about them.
A recent World Bank report indicates South Sudan's inflation rate has consistently stood at triple digits for the last 2 years, leading to skyrocketing prices of commodities in the market. The South Sudanese pound drops in value nearly every day against the U.S. dollar. One U.S. dollar now exchanged for 230 South Sudanese pounds on the black market. William says, while the minister may be doing fine, hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese have no money to buy food to eat.
What is booming, perhaps, is how people are suffering. So they should stop all lying to the world that we are booming.
Raja Mohandis, executive director of the South Sudanese Network for Elections and Democracy, says the minister need to keep himself up to date with events unfolding in the country.
Just last week, the parliament actually had a motion to discuss the economic situation, the prices that the citizens can no longer afford in the markets. And I'm quite sure the honorable minister was not fully aware of these developments. And so his statements were not reflective of the situation and also of what other arms of the government are doing to improve on this situation.
The Civil Society Forum says the minimum wage in the country is less than $5 a month at the current inflation rate. The activists say civil servants often go 6 months without being paid and most of the country's population survives on emergency humanitarian aid provided by the international community. Civil society activists say South Sudan's troubling economic indicators are among the worst in the world.
We are stabilizing the situation in the country. Economy is booming. As a Minister of Petroleum, we are working hard to make sure that the money that we...
Lol's statement prompted angry reactions on social media as well. One Facebook user posted, quote, "No salary for more than 6 months. Food is a dream for many. Almost everything is not working, and yet the South Sudanese economy is booming." Juba resident Justinson Victor says Lol should clarify his statement.
Teachers are crying, months they're not paid. We have people who cannot even afford a meal in a day. We have the number of street children increasing. People cannot do agriculture. We don't have good education. We don't have good security for the people of this country.
The Civil Society Forum statement urges South Sudanese political leaders to have in-depth and accurate information before they speak publicly about the country's condition. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
At least 6,000 internally displaced persons in Bor, South County of Jonglei State, are asking for food, water and shelter after state officials relocated two communities from a disputed area of land last week. Dengai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
The communities of Nyara and Byong of Bor South County signed a peace agreement last week to end a deadly conflict that has claimed 37 lives since December. As part of the deal, the two communities were ordered to evacuate the area so that the authorities could create a buffer zone to separate the two clans. The Nyara community was ordered to move 7 kilometers south from the disputed land. The Byong community was ordered to move 7 kilometers north to an area known as DDR near Fariak. Elizabeth Aja, a mother of five, could not control her emotions. Speaking in her native Dinka language, Aja says she worries her children may die of starvation or disease in Jam.
I am a widow. My husband has been killed and nobody is helping me with the children. I don't have food, clean water or shelter at the moment. The government brought me here and they have done nothing to save our lives.
Akwalerit was affected by the relocation. She says living conditions in Jam are unbearable. Speaking in Dinka, Reed claimed she lost a baby a few days ago due to the harsh weather and a lack of medical care.
Now they have brought us here. Look at me and the children. How do we survive? There is no food and medicine. We are really in need of assistance from the government. Which one is better, dying in the fight and hunger killing you?
Elizabeth Yuol is another mother affected by the government decision to separate the two clans. Speaking in Dinka, she says she does not feel safe at Jam.
Our children are at risk of being abducted. This place is bushy and there are criminals from the neighboring state around. Now there are no houses to sleep in at night. Children just sleep under the trees. My biggest worry now is that these children might be abducted if government does not allow us to return to our houses soon.
Majera Aliar, the acting commissioner of Borsat County, confirmed that at least 8 children have died due to the harsh conditions and lack of medicine.
The children now are facing a lot of the diarrhea and also the chest pain because they are sleeping at night under the trees.
Governor Aguirre says his government has no money to buy food or drugs for the displaced, but says his office has helped to relocate the communities to prevent future revenge attacks.
Trucks are transporting old people, children, old women and men, and their luggages are being transported, plus the protection. The criminals from Buma are around, and it is the duty of the army to protect these communities.
The coordinator of Relief and Rehabilitation Commission for Bor County, David Alirapach, says his office will work with aid agencies such as the Well Food Program to assess the needs of the displaced. He says his commission and WFP official will visit the communities early next week to assess their needs before delivering any relief aid. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
An economic analyst says Sudan's economic decisions have not considered the country's long-term growth. Brandon Mehen says businesses in Sudan are dealing with an acute shortage of foreign currency, raising inflation and a deficiency of safe assets. Mehen says Sudan could learn lessons from Egypt on how to improve its economy amid so many challenges.
In the piece, I talk about Egypt as kind of a model, but it's not necessarily a model in a good sense, or not, it's not like you shouldn't do exactly what Egypt did, but basically I'm talking about how you can look at Egypt as kind of a case study, and you can kind of look at the things it did right and the things it did wrong. For example, trying to fight the black market with dollar deposits limits that basically didn't really work at all.
Why did that work?
It did kind of temporarily calm the black market rate, but the black market rate continued to, after a little while, continued to increase and diverge from the official exchange rate. And so what happened was that, there was still a shortage of dollars in the economy. And so, they were, in order for businesses to import goods, you started to see shortages occur just because there simply weren't enough dollars at any price for importers to be able to, purchase those dollars with pounds and then send those dollars abroad in order to be able to buy things like sugar, various kinds of foodstuffs, various kind of intermediate goods for, factories that were producing finished goods in Egypt. And so you saw, a economic slowdown as a result of this.
Could you talk a little bit more directly about some of the mistakes that Sudan has made in getting it to where it is today?
Yeah. So Sudan, when South Sudan seceded, that was, they were put in a pretty tough situation, losing, having all of a sudden losing all of that that oil revenue from the south. They could have at the time, worked with other countries to try and come up with some kind of structural reform package for the economy that would allow the economy to kind of absorb this blow in a kind of more gradual manner. They didn't end up doing that. They were, again, in a tough situation because of the loss of revenues, the sanctions as well, and being on the state sponsors of terror list. So basically they didn't really do anything about this. And some of the, like I mentioned before, some of the impact of, I guess, the kind of negative effects of losing out on this revenue was dampened to some extent because of the sanctions, because they couldn't really trade trade in a lot of goods with other countries. When those were lifted, that's what kind of, caused this kind of house of cards they had to just crumble to the ground. And so what they can do now is, I really do think they need to work with some of the multilateral organizations, the IMF, the World Bank, to come up with, some kind of reform package to get their exchange rates under control and to kind of bring some sense of calm to the markets. And also, they need to they have the opportunity now that the pound is going to be relatively cheaper compared to other currencies. That if they implement the right kinds of reforms in the country and get their the inflation rate under control, and just basically make Sudan an environment that's more welcoming to international investment and business, they can, eventually start to export more. That's going to help their current account situation and also the government's, budget deficit if they can collect revenue from that.
Brendan Mahan is an economic analyst. He spoke with Ayen Deng Bior here in Washington. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The UN mission in South Sudan withdraws a contingent of Ghanaian police from WOW. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what are your goals for this year?
I need, by the end of this year, that I should have a fridge and a cooker, because right now I use a hot plate.
My goal for this year, I need to study a lot of things which I don't achieve last year, and I need it to achieve this year. Like having a diploma, so I need to achieve.
I have a goal to go back to school. That is my number one goal that I would like to achieve if nothing comes on my way.
I would like to travel a lot, see different countries, see how different cultures are, so that I can get a broader perspective.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations mission in South Sudan has withdrawn a unit of 46 police officers deployed at a protection of civilian site in WOW, following allegations of sexual relationship between the peacekeepers and vulnerable South Sudanese women. The head of UNMISS says his office is investigating the matter and will take immediate action against the perpetrators. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
UNMISS Chief David Shearer says the UN took appropriate measures after receiving a complaint on February 8th alleging that members of the Ghanaian Formed Police Unit were engaged in sexual relations with women at a UN Protection of Civilians site for internally displaced persons in WOW.
An investigation was immediately launched by the Office of Internal Oversight Services, an independent office within the UN. Along with other mission leaders, I was briefed on the preliminary investigation on the morning of the 22nd of February. An immediate decision was made to remove the 46 member police unit from their duty stations inside the POC that afternoon. The unit was fully withdrawn from the WOW base, the Juba, over the next 2 days. The information received indicates that some members of the FPU allegedly engaged in transactional sex.
Shira says the behavior of the Ghanaian police was, quote, a clear breach of UN and UNMISS code of conduct which prohibits sexual relationship with vulnerable individuals, including all beneficiaries of a system, unquote. UNMISS chief claims there is no indication that sexual abuse or exploitation is widespread within the United Nations mission in South Sudan.
UNMISS has a zero tolerance, no excuses and no second chance approach to sexual exploitation and abuse. Our priority is to put the victims' rights and dignity first and ensure there is transparency and accountability for our actions. That is why the mission has taken immediate action to protect and support potential victims and witnesses in this case while a full investigation is carried out.
Shira says the action by a small number of Ghanaian police officers could jeopardize the reputation of the mission.
On the whole, Ghanaian peacekeepers and police serving with the UNMISS have made an excellent contribution to the protection of civilians and the building of durable peace in South Sudan. It is very disappointing that the behaviour of some police officers risks staining that record of service as well as the mission's reputation.
Women rights activist Rhea William, who heads the non-profit Crown the Women South Sudan, says she wants to see the UN police in WOW punished to prevent similar behaviour by UN peacekeepers.
We believe that these people are brought to protect us, South Sudanese. First of all, we are already traumatized with what is happening. We know that women have been going through a lot since the war. For example, issues of sexual assault. And if I hear this being done by people we believe are supposed to offer us protection, then it is really sad.
Women rights activist Flora Lokudo, who works with the Organization for Nonviolence and Development, says all individuals found guilty of taking advantage of women must not only be punished, but sent back to their country of origin.
I'm sure there are many who are doing those things without noticing. We are not aware of what is happening, but if such kind of things appear, then UN should take it seriously. They should look on it and make sure that their aim of being here in South Sudan is to protect the civilians, not to harm them.
UNMISS said in a statement released over the weekend that it has informed UN headquarters in New York of the allegations. Shira says officials notified the Ghanaian government the matter is being investigated by the United Nations. UNMISS Chief Shira emphasized that any act of sexual exploitation or abuse undermines the critical work of UNMISS and compromises its credibility with the people of South Sudan. UNMISS has more than 17,000 peacekeeping personnel, including 13,000 soldiers and 1,500 police, whose mission is to build durable peace and protect civilians in South Sudan, where there has been widespread conflict. Sierra's audio used in this story was provided by the office of the UNMISS spokesperson in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The South Sudan government spokesperson says laws in South Sudan protect all fundamental human rights, including freedom of expression. But Information Minister Michael Makui says the government will not allow individuals to trample over the rights of others. The UN Commission on Human Rights released a report last week saying freedom of expression is under attack in South Sudan. Makui says the report says some of the violations may amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity.
The restriction is according to the law. The South Sudan law allows freedom of expression within the law. There is no way where you are allowed to express your opinion and you begin to step on the toes of others. The rights of others are protected within the law. So anybody who exercises their right of expression and freedom of press or whatever freedoms, these freedoms must be exercised according to the law. And anybody who goes beyond the law and steps on the toes of others must answer. This is what our law says, and this is what we are doing. We are not here to conform to any other laws, but to the laws of the Republic of South Sudan.
The report identifies, it says, 60 verified incidents which violate the legitimate right to freedom of expression of 102 victims, including 17 women, in the period from July 2016 to December 2017. It mentioned that 58 people were detained and others, 16 people dismissed from their jobs, the closure or suspension of 3 media houses. Are you saying all these people violated the law?
All these people, whatever action taken by the media authority is in accordance with the provisions of the law. And by the way, for your information, there are some people who believe that they need to decide whether to recognize or not to recognize laws of certain countries and states, member states of the U.S. And anybody who comes to South Sudan is duty-bound to respect and abide by the laws of the Republic of South Sudan.
UN South Sudan mission recalls police unit over sex abuse allegations. What does your government know about this?
Well, of course, the fact that these people are employees of the UN or representatives of the UN and they have the immunity, they have the immunity within the limits of performance of their functions. This immunity does not extend to protecting them when they are in conflict with the law of the nation. It does not allow them to violate the laws of the nation and commit atrocities, and they continue to be protected because they are employees of the UN or because they are UN employees. That is not acceptable. It is only when they are in conflict with the law, in the performance of their official functions and duties, that they are protected. But when they behave in their personal capacity, when they begin to abuse the immunity given to them, then ultimately this is outside the law and they must answer in accordance with the laws of the state in which they are operating.
You said you don't agree with immunity. Do you think the South Sudan government should have the privilege to prosecute anybody found guilty or alleged to be doing this?
We will prosecute whoever is found to be in conflict with the laws of South Sudan. Listen to me, Jim. These people, the fact that they are employees of the UN, they are only protected if they were acting within the competencies and the mandate of the UN. Anything outside the UN mandate, they must answer.
That's South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makui. He was speaking with VOA's James Batty from Juba earlier today. That brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Junubia by CJ Oman.
CJ Oman. Junubia. Hey. Junubia. Analiko pini haji simto biafa. Analiko pini alonto biafa. Analiko pini azei malaika. Anetukue na taifu watako.
We've been listening to CJ Oman with the song Junubia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We'd like to hear what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
That's what it is.